Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, Purnell, Aki, Chris. How are you three doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay. Summertime sucks. Storm season sucks. But, you know, I'm making it through.
Yeah, the heat is... I think the best word to describe summer heat is bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Especially when your humidity is regularly close to 100%.
Yeah. Yay, humidity.
And in my case, oh, go ahead, Chris, you were saying something?
No, I wasn't. I've got a super clear mic tonight because of mishaps. So please continue. Ooh. I was just making sounds with my mouth.
I think that's how speaking usually works, yeah?
Mouth noises.
Aki, how far away from the mic are you? You sound like you're half the room away.
I'm like a footish away from my mic, where I usually am.
Oh, it sounds better now.
You say you have a mic footish?
It's an extreme footish.
Well, I guess she would, actually. Who am I kidding?
I am an audiophile, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's pretty good.
But don't diss.
Oh, I wasn't making a joke. I was just being straightforward. But yeah, sure.
Hey, I mean, but dump tis still applies because it's a pun that's also accurate.
Yes. It's a lovely sound. I approve.
Yeah, but it's a good thing we actually did record last week because I was like stuck out. Storm season screwed me up. I couldn't be here if I wanted to.
Dude, we probably could have skipped this week too with how little stuff we've been getting for Tuesdays, but next week will be a big one. You have a lot next week, Pernell.
Yeah, so hopefully no storms will get me, washed away at an airport.
I hope so. what was going on? Where were you, Chicago?
Yeah, two tornadoes, one in Chicago and then one back home, basically delayed my flight for a good extra two days, and I didn't get home. I got home 2 days later than I was supposed to, but...
Damn!
It's,
Did the airlines first night help cost us with, like $500 or anything?
Nope. They said, act of God, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
So they were like, God says, go fuck yourself.
Pretty much. And, I mean, the first night, I couldn't get to any of my friends because everybody was asleep by the time they canceled the flight. The second night,
that's the one. God.
That's what he sounded like. He said that to me. Direct.
Go fuck yourself.
No, I was a little more angry than that.
Go fuck yourself.
There it is. That's the one.
All right.
But like, yeah, he...
We also have...
Go fuck yourself.
I like that.
That actually sounds more like, okay, maybe later, I guess.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
And that's... how many of those do you have?
Have you got Matt PA saying it?
Six.
Joe. What did Chris
say?
We
have six.
Do you have who?
Have you got Matt saying it?
No, we don't. One day, we will. One day.
You'll get it. It's an inevitability.
Oh, we will. One day. We have so much of Matt to begin with.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Robot.
Yeah, you got all six of them.
I get a robot.
I can take six voices of God telling you to fuck yourself.
There it is. He has so many versions. Just talking it up. But yeah, the first night I spent a lot of money to stay there. The second night they canceled the flight early enough that I was able to get a hold of a friend and I could crash at his place instead. So I was able to save the money because basically 1,200 flights got canceled, which meant every hotel was booked solid for miles.
Ouch.
It was tough. And I was like, I'm not sleeping in the airport. I refuse. I've done it before. I don't want to do it again. I work too hard to sleep in the airport. So... Mm-hmm. It cost me too, and I don't like it. Looking back, I still almost like it was worth it because again, the fact that I got stuck at the airport all day the second day, if I slept at the airport the previous night, I would have been miserable. So I'm glad I made that decision despite the fact that, you know, I'm budgeting this month to make up the difference I spent.
Man, that is rough.
Yeah, so global warming, weather sucks.
Yay! Chris, what have you been up to?
Oh, man, well, lots of musical doings. I mentioned before we started recording that my band Thunder People, for which I play bass and do some singing, we have a new album that's coming out this weekend. It's called Hallucigenia. Just go find us as Thunder People and you'll find it. We worked hard on it this year. Yeah, and spent a lot of time actually mixing it, and that's a good thing because we don't usually do that. Because independent recording and publishing,
we'll play it at the end of the show.
I don't have one in a shareable mode yet. Yeah, sorry. But it will all be up there, on all the streamers and stuff. So, I'll see what I can find. I don't know. And other news is we had our big retro gaming, convention here in Austin over the last weekend, and I got to go to it, and our big special guest this year was none other than Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario and Parthenax in Skyrim. Yeah. Oh my god. So I, of course, even though I don't think I've ever spent this much money to meet a celebrity of any ilk. I won't say how much for modesty reasons, but I did get a nice selfie, and I could afford to have him autograph one thing, so I brought up Skyrim instead of my Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which I had also brought with me. But dude is such a professional. He was carrying on a conversation with me while writing out this long quote from Skyrim all over the front of my case. And also, like, he wrote it out to Dovahkiin Chris, and he spelled Dovahkiin correctly. And
hey, kids.
He also still That's put awesome. A little Mario. He still put a little Mario woohoo on the back, which is very funny.
You think he was excited that someone was there that didn't have something Mario related?
It was hard to get a read in the audience line. I think he was kind of tired because he is 70 years old. Yeah. But he was very engaged and very sharp and, like, you know, conversing with people and stuff. But he wasn't, like, you know, like nerding out with us over stuff that he did. And I mean, even if he was, like, super. And he did an amazing panel, by the way, that went over like 30 minutes. So don't think he was like just phoning it in. He was like putting in the work. But anyways, and like every time there was a kid there, he was like, he would do the entire little session in that character's voice for whatever they brought up. So if they brought up a Luigi's Mansion thing, he would do the entire talking to them in Luigi's voice, and like he had little skits and stunts for like every little like thing. It was great. It was amazing. That's awesome. Anyways, yeah, he's awesome.
He sounds like someone who would be great to meet. The one person I would love to meet, and I could have done it at too many games, but I'm a cheap bastard, and I'm not going to pay money to just meet somebody. It'd be Cam Clark.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Now I will say he wasn't charging just to meet him, it was like the charges were just for anything you wanted to take away from him. Like, yeah. So an autograph costs money, a selfie costs money, but just going through the line and shaking his hand, that's free. I did it twice.
Nice.
I also hung out with Grant Kirkhope, but I was out of money, so I have no physical proof of that ever happened. but he knows my Facebook club. He's in my Facebook Obscure Music Club, and so he knew me from that, kind of. So that was kind of cool. Anyways, so in the Martinet line, I was going to say, even if he was, like, super stoked, like, for whatever reason, for whatever I brought up there, or, you know, wanted to talk to him about, it would have been diffused by the fact that while standing in line for him, three nerds started doing a Mario off in a circle. all now, three.
Did he make a grimace? Did he make a face of wincing at the moment?
No,
or
no.
He appreciated it.
He's a professional.
Well, I mean, I only glanced over at him just to make sure, but he didn't seem affected by it at all. I'm absolutely sure it happens 100% of the time while he's up there making $100. You know, he's up there making $100 a second in that line. So it's like, you know, dude does not care, but he's not going to he's not going to jump up in there and do it unless, you know, like I said, a kid's got a Mario thing and comes up to him or whatever. And then he does the whole thing. I also got to just hang out and bullshit with the voice of Bowser.
Nice.
Again, no physical proof because I couldn't afford it, but he lives like in a place I used to live in Texas. And so we talked about that and chatted about traffic and just, you know, like different little things. And he's such a nice guy. And his voice is high pitched like mine, which is very funny because his voice as Bowser is not artificially pitched. He just has a huge range. Wow. And he can do that. He can do that bassy.
Awesome.
Yeah, but his like actual speaking voice, like him and I both like have the kind of high nasally voice, and like that was I wasn't expecting that. So that's kind of funny. So yeah, I got to do all that. I only bought two things at the con because again I was broke at the end.
The Martinale.
Oh, by the way, I'm dropping names here. Kenny James is the voice of Bowser. No wait, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
You're the authority on that. You will know.
Well, I had to Google to make sure I was correct because I'm bad with names. Anyway, yeah, Kenny James is the guy I met. Yeah, I only bought two things. One was a Switch case and one was a physical copy of Atari 50 because it had all the DLC in it and it was like $20.
Nice.
That game had DLC?
The physical game has DLC, yes. It the physical has all the DLC on it, apparently. And
DLC? Is there more games?
Yep.
Yeah, a lot more games, like 30 more.
Oh, okay. So it's more like Atari 80.
Yeah, it's like, well, Atari 50 stands for the years. The amount of games is actually like over 100, I think.
Oh, even in the original. Awesome.
Yeah, even in the original release, it was packed with like games. But yeah, it's like more interviews and more like the DLC each had like kind of a theme. And so, yeah, it's in the games reflect that theme as well as the documentary and interviews and stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting through all the stuff I didn't get through when I reviewed the game back in the day. Last thing.
Yeah, there's actually three DLCs for the game. There was
yes.
Atari 50, the first console war, Atari 50, the wider world of Atari, and then Atari 50, the Namco Legendary Pack.
Yeah. So the last thing, there was one other celebrity and he got to share top billing with Charles Martinet, beloved voice actor. And that was the fucking angry video game nerd.
Oh,
so he did a panel every day of the con. He had the biggest, like he had like this replica, like, I guess a kind of wallpaper of like his set, his living room set, to do photos in front of. And his line was so long, it like wrapped around the like that area, the area they had cordoned off for like, for celebrities. And then it went past that into another section of the whole con. And so I thought, okay, well, like when I first got there, I was like, I saw the cordoned off section. I saw all the voice actors that were there. By the way, the voices of Princess Peach and Rosalina were also there. I'm sorry to say, I am not familiar with their work or their other stuff besides that I've heard their voices in games. So I didn't really talk to them either. But anyway, they were also there. But I stood in like the back of that long ass line, and I just got out my Switch and started playing Animal Crossing. So I was like, okay, so this line feeds into all the different voice actor parts because I wasn't seeing like I was seeing the line kind of split off into like all these other things, and so I was like, okay, so I guess I got to stand here for like 5 hours, but this is the only thing I really wanted to do this con, so I'll just do it, and then like 5 minutes into my game of Animal Crossing, I overhear somebody being like, oh, this is just the line for the angry video game nerd. Charles Martinet's line is way further up there and way shorter.
So yes, thank you.
I almost stood in line for like at least 3.5 hours. And then if I would have gotten to the end of that line and found out I was about to meet the friggin' video game nerd, I would have been so pissed. Because y'all know I have it out for that. I have it out for that guy. And, like, that would have been the worst.
See, I did not know that.
That would have been fucking hilarious.
For another time, I guess, because I didn't know that.
Yeah. Always have. But, yeah, that was just the funny thing. It's like, if I would have gotten all the way up there and then found out that not only am I meeting the angry video game nerd now, but, like, you know, Martinet's line was, like, 20 minutes long at the time. That was at the height. It wasn't a long line ever. So that's why I stood in it a couple more times.
I wish you were able to move. Like, I got a bone to pick with you. Like, okay, $20 for an autograph.
Bone. That it would have been funny if it would have been like $80 to pick a bone.
You got a bone to pick with 80, me. It's going to cost you
$80 to crash out at the angry video game nerd.
Just for how he ruined YouTube. Hard time, like, accepting paying money to get an autograph or to get a picture with someone. Like,
I
know, well, that's how they make their money, but like, yeah. I don't know. As just,
I get why they do it. I don't generally get why people pay them for it, but I get absolutely why they would sell their signature or whatever. I'd sell mine if I could.
An autograph. I just want to talk to you on my podcast.
Well, yeah.
Well, you want something that costs even more. Okay.
You could pay them to talk to you on your podcast. Would you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I have my own feeling. I have my own feelings about it, but ultimately I'm like, actually this is fine because this is the environment for it. And like, this is your chance. You're not going to just run into him at the airport. And you know, if you did run into him at the airport, maybe he would sign something for free. I don't know. Yeah. He seems like a nice enough guy, especially if you're like a kid or something, that he probably would take a picture with you and sign stuff and everything. But like, he's there for business purposes, and you get an exchange for that slice of time that you get to basically purchase from somebody who's beloved and guaranteed to be there. And like I said, you know, his energy levels were amazing and it was a very good experience. So I was happy to pay him. I was like, yeah, you know, I only have so much money, but you can have all of it.
Take all my money. Take all of it.
Except like, for this $20 for Atari 50, like, and $10 for a Switch case. I can understand
with someone like Charles Martinet, but angry video game nerd? Why? Like,
well, I mean, again, well, the guy, he is, I would say, for the same reason Chris hates him, there's a reason why a lot of people love him. Like, he is an iconic character, and he won, some could say, he pretty much kickstarted the whole, like, YouTuber game critiquing concept.
Yeah,
wanting to see them is YouTube. One thing. Paying to want to see them is, I don't get.
Yeah. But. No, I would not. Well, I wouldn't pay to see any YouTuber. That's just me and the nature of
you, sir.
Small, you. Yeah, the nature of like small like I don't know. It's hard to say that it's small time because some of these people are extremely rich, but like, and you know, much more popular than like even some movie stars. But it still feels like it's like personal content creation, and it's just like, yeah, you know. I get it, though, like, you know, if I did make stuff and I was invited to a convention just to meet people and sign autographs, like, I think there would be an expectation that I'd have a price tag for that, but, yeah, you know.
You'd expect the con to pay that.
Oh, they pay maybe. That, too. The con pays that, too.
Yeah, the con does
to
pay.
Get you there, and that you get paid to be there by the people take photos with you.
I guess I'm just used to bands like doing a concert and then doing autograph sessions afterwards.
Yes. The reason for that is that they're actually like, you know, they're selling merch and things like that. And also, but that, you know, and it, again, it's a different environment. And also sometimes you do pay just to meet a musician and not actually see a show.
True.
those interactions happen too. But, anyway, it was a really good time. Like I said, it was funny to like be standing in line for 20 minutes, like a foot away from the angry video game nerd doing the exact same face for every selfie that, you know.
Doing that angry, that face where he's going,
It's doing the kind of...
We just got ourselves a big raid. BMD Bud coming in with 27 viewers. I hope you were doing well. I don't know if you had a show this past weekend or not, but... Hope you were doing well. I gotta catch you streaming again soon. Thanks for coming in. If any Xbox fans have just come in the raid, we are doing a giveaway for a game tonight. The Crimson Maid from Wales Interactive. They hooked us up with a couple of spare copies.
It has fantastic titties in it.
Yeah, of course.
I've never heard that game in my life.
A couple weeks ago.
I'm gonna look it up now.
Enjoy the
say, it would have been funny if it was the AVGN rating in with 4.7
Thank you to the angry video
viewers.
Game nerd for rating with 4,000
But just to answer Purnell's question, he was doing the Beaker face from the Muppets. Like, that's the face he does.
Ah,
nice.
Yeah.
That guy and his faces. Well, if any of us ever reach the point where we become big enough where people want to get our autographs and all that good stuff, I'll support you.
Oh, thank you. I have a pretty nice autograph. I do a smiley face.
Oh, you got some art in there. I can dig it.
Yeah. But, yeah. So that was my weekend. Apart from that, I bought some Switch 2 games. That's it.
What games did you buy for Switch 2?
This was, of course, this was like this week, not last week, but I got me the Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition with the Switch 2 upgrade, because I did not purchase the physical of that when it was on Switch 1, so I figured two birds.
You got the official release of the Definitive Edition, not the upgrade pack.
Yes, the Switch 2 edition that comes with the Switch 1 game and the upgrade pack on the same card. It's all on the card, though. Yeah, it's the Switch 1 version with the upgrade pack already there, and it's all on the card. It's not a game key card. They're doing the games that way, all the Xenoblade games that way.
Okay.
So I actually do want to pick up all three of the other Xenoblade games on the same cart with the upgrade, just because that's convenient. And I only own the first two anyway.
I only have the first.
So you double dipped on that. You double dipped for that, man, what you're saying.
Yeah, but not for X. I do own X on the Wii U, but not the Switch 1. So now I do, but also it has the Switch 2 upgrade pack included on the cart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good deal. I got the Disney Afternoon Collection that Atari put out on Switch 2. I reviewed that on the PS4 all the way back in the day, but now it includes Bonkers and Goof Troop.
I'm so mad
that added games to it.
Bonkers and Goof Troop didn't come to other platforms.
It's very odd, yeah. I don't know. Maybe because they were all Nintendo exclusives at one point, but I don't know.
Is specifically, if I can find it, the Switch 2 version of the Disney Afternoon Collection.
Yeah, I think the Switch 1 version, it didn't come out on Switch 1, I don't think. It came out on PS... Oh, it did? Okay, yeah, and I think... I can't remember what games were included on that one, but the Switch 2 had a physical version. It was actually really cheap. I got it on sale, and so I was like, well, I might as well get the physical one then. And I really enjoy the Disney Afternoon games, even though I already have most of them on their original formats. I thought I'd finally drop that for that.
DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin. And then the Switch version gets Bonkers and Goof Troop. It is on sale right now for $15.99 as well, if you want the digital version.
Yeah, I give it a buy.
I'd be getting a physical. Otherwise, I might just emulate the thing. I want a physical copy of it.
Yeah, the physical copy is only a few bucks more than that for me, but I think its normal price is $29.99 anyway, so it's a good deal. I picked up Splatoon Raiders, my first Splatoon game.
It's good.
Yeah, I heard it was good, and I have friends that want to play it with me, so I'm like, all right, I'll pick it up.
What is the difference between that and normal Splatoon game? Like,
you're asking the wrong guy.
Well, I mean, Splatoon is a multiplayer game first and foremost, and Raiders is the... Oh, let me rephrase that. It is a multiplayer versus game, like an arena fighter with the PvP, Nintendo spin to it. whereas Raiders is very much Splatoon, but in an adventure game format.
With cooperative. Yeah.
Yeah, with cooperative multiplayer. Because they started adding like single-player campaigns to Splatoon games, but they were all single-player campaigns.
Yeah.
This is a multiplayer campaign.
Yeah, gotcha. So that's... And I like a single-player experience with cooperative multiplayer. I'm not a PvP person, believe it or not.
I love Splatoon, but I never want to play online with people. But I love the actual game.
I mean, I have a friend who loves playing Splatoon 3 online. So, I mean, and her and I have pretty close sensibilities in terms of that. So I'm like, I don't think I wouldn't like it. I just haven't done it. And anyway, the last one, it took me 3 attempts to finally get this friggin' game in my collection, but I got my physical of Rhythm Heaven Groove for the Switch 1.
Nice. Wait, was it hard to get or something?
It was hard for me to get because of weird things with Amazon and my credit card, and like it was just a whole kerfuffle. Let's just say I literally purchased it 3 times, and 2 of those times got canceled for dumb reasons. And then, yeah, I tried to pre-order it, and then I tried to buy it after it was released, and then I finally, this time, I bought it and it arrived at last.
The funny part with that game, at first when I saw it come, I was like, oh god, another Rhythm Heaven game? They released that game like every 3 years. And then I went and looked to see when the last Rhythm Heaven game came out. Like, wait a minute, it's been over 10 years? Doesn't even feel like it.
And I was like, Wii, yeah, I'll buy it then. DS and Wii, I think the Wii is a different game though, right?
They're different games, but the last release was, like, I want to say the last release was on the Wii though. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive it was. And I was like, wow, I was way off on the last time I thought they released that, put out a version of that game.
I'm sad to say. Changed
my mind.
Totally off topic, but that reminds me today, my niece, I went to go visit my mom and my niece is like, come look at my room. And I went in her room and she has like Ariana Grande and, you know, all these pop stars and then Deftones around the fur. Like, funny. What the fuck do you have Deftones for? And yeah, we ended up talking and playing some music and I played the song Entombed from Koi no Yokan. And my mom likes that one, and I looked down like, yeah, this is just a couple years old, and I looked at my phone. It was like 2012. No way. That song is not 14 years old. Oh, my God, my back hurts.
My poor back. My precious antique back. That song's
14 years old.
The ancients, as they say.
Yeah.
It's almost as old as my niece.
I'm like, oh yeah, the brand new Mario game, Super Mario Odyssey. It's been 10 years almost. It's the longest time that there has been without a new 3D Mario game since Mario 64 came out.
Is that really the longest?
It is, yeah. There hasn't been more than like 3 or 4 years, and now it's been like 9 years and some change.
Maybe that explains why I genuinely missed 3D Mario. Yeah, but I want another 3D Mario, and I want it to have power-ups in it, too.
We all know that 2D Mario and 3D Mario are two different animals nowadays, so... Yeah.
That's right.
I guess Sunshine's hitting Nintendo Switch Online.
Huh?
Are you excited that Sunshine is hitting Switch Online for GameCube?
Yeah, I did mention before that I have the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, so I already have access to the exact game they're probably uploading. But I will definitely play it on the NSO. I really enjoy the NSO. I'm also even more excited, obviously, because it's me, that they dropped the two unreleased Virtual Boy games on the NSO as well. I got to play Racer Zero yesterday, and it was really funny.
Is it worthwhile?
Yeah, it's a Virtual Boy racing game. I mean, doesn't that make you curious?
Yeah.
I'll explain.
The D-Hopper one.
The D-Hopper one is, it's actually called Dragon Hopper, and I don't know, it's like a top-down platformer where you jump and stuff. I haven't actually booted that one up yet because my time is very short and precious, and I fell asleep while playing Racer X, or Racer, anyway. But Racer Zero, but I'll report back on it at some point. But yeah, Racer Zero is F-Zero for the Virtual Boy. It actually has the Falcon, the Blue Falcon, which of course is not blue, so they only call it the Falcon. And it's like F-Zero, except that it's you fully move up and down freely as well, so it's like a tunnel racer, like behind the cockpit kind of ship thing. Instead of just being stuck to one course, and it's all in wireframe, of course, like Red Alarm. But it looks good. It moves fast. It's a little hard to control at first, but then you get used to it, and it's fine. And it's got, like I said, the Falcon. It's got the Goose instead of the Green Goose, because obviously they can't be green. It's got the Stingray. Thank God, that's my. I'm literally wearing a Stingray Samurai Goro t-shirt right now from F-Zero. And then it has a fourth racer that I'm not going to spoil for anybody, but it is very funny.
What is that? No, you're supposed to have like,
huh?
Never mind, go ahead, keep going. I was like just refreshing. What is this now that you're told me to have an extra racer?
Yeah, it's instead of having the Golden Fox, which was the yellow vehicle from the original F-Zero, the one that was really hard to control. they instead put a surprise, I guess, fourth racer that is very funny. And I recommend everybody that has the ability. I know they actually discounted the cardboard headset. I know people don't like the cardboard stuff, but
that's the one I bought because I can't swing $100 for the big one.
I could and did, barely. But I mean, I've had it now this whole time and I've loved it, so hooray.
Yeah, I it's really cool playing those in 3D again, and like having the stereoscopic 3D on the Switch.
Yeah, really cool. they even look pixelated correctly. Like, it's crazy. I mean, I see how they did it. It's just magnifying glasses, and the split image is very, very small.
Yeah.
So therefore, low resolution when it's blown up. I mean, it's a pretty simple trick, but still, yeah. Damn, effective. It looks perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. We have a couple of games to talk about. Should we dive into these and just get this show over and done with?
Yeah, let's do it.
Brunel, you ready? Yeah. You're up first.
Yeah.
You don't sound too sure.
Yeah, let's go.
First game, Lunarium, developed by Lunarium Game Studio, published by Lunarium Game Studio and Imperfect Games. It released July 28th on Steam for $17.99. Lunarium is an atmospheric fantasy ARPG. Play as Ave, a light-armored knight who teams with Lune, a mysterious starfarer. Together, they journey to save a dying world, engaging in challenging battles to retrieve the lost glow of stars and forsaken memories, unveiling cosmic secrets. Brunel, make sense of that, because I can't.
There's nothing to make sense of. I almost kind of ignored the story after a certain point, because it's not a bad story, but it's very much a by-the-books narrative of a young warrior who is out and about investigating a threat to her home. And while doing so, she finds herself in the jam where said threat almost kills her. And she is brought back to the home of the aforementioned Starfarer, who up to this point were just legends. Ooh, but she saves Ave's life and then decides to go along with her on a quest to figure out what the issue is behind this evil blight that is encompassing the land and basically resurrecting dead corpses and just corrupting the environment. But the main draw there, at least, is the characters' interaction between the two. They have a nice buddy relationship, which I appreciate as I play, as they talk to each other. She's the typical naive, mythical creature being who's like, wow, I haven't been to the human world in like 1,000 years. So you call this a village? Like that kind of thing. Versus her, who's just like a big geek towards the whole Starfarer concept and just wants to do the right thing for her village and her friends. So, the actual gameplay, it's been described as a Souls-like, I can kind of agree with that, with the one difference on the positive note, unless I didn't notice it, is that when you die, you don't seem to lose anything. You just have to try again. If I'm wrong, I wasn't noticing. Sucks to be me. Or does it? But the way it works is you'll be moving around a top-down map, going from place to place as you execute, missions, maybe go to this village or to go meet this person, that kind of thing. And as you're moving through the environments, you'll come across the occasional shadowy creature, or creatures, plural. And combat, and as you unlock more abilities, things this will expand, of course, but basically combat involves you doing a basic melee attack and a charged thrust attack. These attacks can be used to do light damage to enemies, because you ain't going to be doing a ton just by using these effects, by the way. There is a dash mechanic for dodging and getting quick dodge out the way. And most importantly, there's a parry mechanic that can be used to stop oncoming attacks with minimal damage, because unless it's a perfect parry, you'll still take a little bit of damage. Now, this is where the Starfarer companion character comes into play, because without her, you ain't doing much of anything to these jerks, because this game relies heavily on a stagger mechanic. As you do damage to enemies, you will very, very slowly increase a stagger meter. If you parry an enemy, you'll increase it a fair bit more, even more so if you do a perfect parry. Now, Lune has the ability to fire special arrows at enemies when you increase a gauge that is built up by doing damage to enemies and over time. If you do a perfect parry, then counter with a star arrow, you will vastly reduce their stagger meter and potentially break their shield, which then is how you'll get in and do melee damage and hit them for massive amounts of HP. That is primarily how you'll be doing most of your attacks. And as you kill enemies, you'll get stardust, which can be used as currency when you get to warp benches, which you can teleport between and whatever, to upgrade your character with new abilities and skills. Estus Flask in this game are essentially prayers, and when your HP is low, you can pray and get your HP back to a certain amount. You can get more of that at save points, too, when you spend your currency to do so. But, of course, if you don't get additional, you'll just refill your current stock when you sit and rest of the bench. I said Souls-like, so you also realize that when you rest of the bench, though, all the enemies you defeated, with some exceptions, will spawn back onto the map so you can kill them again. Hotcha! The character has further elements of growth in the form of the heart container-esque find 4 avian shards to increase your HP, or 4 like starlight shards to increase your resonance gauge, which is the gauge I mentioned that lets Lune fire her star arrows. So the last thing that you gain as far as like improving your character goes comes in the form of cloaks. As you traverse the world, you come across different cloaks that can be equipped, and these cloaks have a passive perk that can be applied while wearing the cloak. But in addition to that, the cloaks can be equipped with embroideries to further enhance the capabilities associated with them. So you might find yourself going, I want the cloak that increases my HP, and I want to supplant it with this item, this embroidery that increases my defense but reduces my attack, that kind of thing. And you'll be mixing and matching that along with just buying every possible upgrade on the skill tree that you possibly can. There's the occasional, stop at the village and pay an ore to the blacksmith / master character to increase the power of your weapon. And there's a bunch of different items you come across that can be utilized towards further enhancing your character. But for the most part, this game is all about hacky slashy combat. And I feel like I said that disingenuously, because in reality, if you can't parry, you're going to have a real tough time with this game. That to say, there isn't a story mode option, because there is a story mode checkbox in the gameplay features that I intentionally ignored. So I don't know how much easier it makes the game, but that is an option for folks who might feel themselves going, I want to experience this game, but I suck at parrying. Maybe that'll make your life a little easier. As I know, though, I died and retried quite a few times. But the game is fun to play, so I didn't actually disenjoy that in any means whatsoever. You start unlocking additional elements to the combat as well, using those same moves, like the ability to charge your arrow to knock down like shields that enemies have that make them doubly buff. So things like that become pretty fun to work with, too. You get caught up in skirmishes where you're getting attacked by like 5 different guys at once, and you're trying to parry different people at the same time, to the point where you just kind of stop doing your basic attack, because the whole game becomes watch for the ability, the opportunity to parry this jerk or do a perfect dodge and counter. And yeah, the dance becomes fun to engage in. Oh no, I think this game is a good time. The story is nothing revolutionary, but the artwork is beautiful. The music resonates well with the gameplay. And the gameplay itself is, for what it is, a lot of fun to engage with. And if you like a challenge, look no further than this, because you'll get it.
Very good. This one clocks in at $18. What do you think about it?
I'd give it a buy it recommendation. This is, again, this is a good time, long as you're ready for the challenge, though I can't speak for the story mode, but it's there if you find yourself wanting to experience it without the challenge. So come at it. Come at it, awesome. Bro.
All right, let's move on to Viral Reload EX, developed by Retrocade Media, published by Flynn's Arcade. It released July 23rd on the Switch for $9.99. In the year 2063, the evil Kyle Kaboom has begun kidnapping the former members of his band Chainsaw Cannonball and injecting them with deadly viruses. Strapped into the viral unit, Bimmy and Octo must fight these infections, all while trying to track down Kyle and stop him before he destroys the moon. Chris, what the hell?
Okay,
that's all
so
I got. That's all I got for this one. What the hell?
Exciting stuff. This is a shmup from Flynn's Arcade, which I've done a lot of their games in the past, and usually they're kind of like arcadey platformers, but now it's an arcadey shooter, which is pretty nice. So yeah, the story is about that stupid. You can turn off cutscenes if you want, by the way. Game gives you that option.
Why would you? This sounds amazing.
No, yeah, it's fine. They got like little, what do you call them? Like gibberish, vocal gibberish that they use. Like, I guess, you know, sounds when the text scrolls across the screen. That's like pretty fun. And, you know, little vocal samples that they use. And I quite like that. I always love it when video games do that, when they, instead of using English, you know, or real like voice acting, they just kind of put in, like Onion Games does that all the time, using vocalizations instead of that. But yeah, it's basically, you know, as it says, there's a band with an evil bassist, apparently, and he decides that, because he's also a scientist, that he's gonna poison people, and so you have to save the drummer. That's stage one. You have this ship that can blast, you know, I guess, viruses, and the ship is, by the way, a changeable size. So even though you start the first stage microscopic, soon in chapter two, you have to take to the skies and actually do more of a classic kind of shmup thing. Cause I kind of thought this was going to be like a Nano Assault EX or something like that, like a shooter that takes place inside a human body, in a tiny place, like for the whole game. But it actually turns out it's just, you know, this is just a framing device to throw a whole bunch of different kind of shmuppy scenes together, which I have no complaints about. So yes, as with any, this is a vertical shooter. It takes place on 1/3 of the screen. I do believe it has a Tate mode. I'm going to check that right now.
Yep, it does.
Okay. Yeah. This also is a rare bird in the sense that it also, in at least story mode, has the ability to save. You can actually save your progress every time you complete a level. Excuse me. And you can also name your character, and it gives you a generous amount of letters. I was actually able to spell out all of Liar Exaggerate, my Twitch screen name, and favorite character in Earthbound, with, you know, in this shmup, which is rare. But yeah, so the way that chapters are broken up, like I said, it's a vertical shooter. Enemies come at you in waves. So think about like Galaga or something like that. So the enemies, like, you'll just get a whole big bunch of them at a time. And then as soon as you deal with that wave, the next wave comes up. And after 10 waves, there's a big boss fight. So the enemies start off very like formulaic, like, you know, it actually, the first wave is almost exactly except that the viruses look different, obviously, than the demonoids or whatever the things are called in Galaga. It's been a while. They're like swooping down at you and stuff. You do quickly realize that, you know, you're going to have to engage with the game's gimmick in order to proceed. So the gimmick of this game is that you have a free use side to side, like horizontal slide. So if you push the by default it's the Y button to shoot, and by the way, for accessibility sake, they give you the option to have the shooting be a toggle instead of just holding down the button, so that you can turn. Yeah, I love when shmups do that. They're like, oh, you just want to shoot all the time without actually pushing the button, go ahead. We'll let you just turn it on and off. But the other button, the B button on the Switch controller is your slide button. Now you can, it basically lets you slide about, I'm going to say 4 ship's lengths to the left or right, not up or down. And while you're sliding, you are invincible. And in fact, it will clear bullets too. You need this because they will, you know, within the first couple of waves be sending enemies that are just straight up shooting solid beams at you. So you need to be able to dodge left to right to get on the other side of these guys so you can blow them apart with your guns. Your guns get upgraded as you proceed through levels as well. So level 2, for instance, you get a homing missile instead of just a straightforward shot, which is really nice. The waves are really cool. They're very, the game is quite difficult, in that way that, it's just difficult enough that you want to keep trying. It's one hit kill. You have 3 lives by default. You will earn more if you get points, but the lives only just count towards beating that wave, essentially. That is to say, once the 10 waves, the whole level, or chapter, is completed, then, like I said, your game saves, so there's nothing you can do to lose that progress once you have beaten a boss. You have 3 lives to get through the 10 waves of a chapter, including the boss. So, yeah, it's one hit kills you, and so it is difficult in that way that Flynn's arcade games usually are difficult. However, despite my lack of actual skill in shmups, my skills are kind of inversely proportionate to my knowledge of shmups, if you didn't know. although I can beat Darius Twin on the Super Nintendo within 2 credits. So I'm pretty good at certain games. Anyways, the bosses are like, I'm really glad I made it to a boss in this game, because I almost didn't. the bosses are, you know, nice and big, and they're like, the bullet patterns they put out there are nice. It's not exactly bullet hell, but they do send a lot of bullets after you. But it's not like big waves of bullets or anything like that, unless it calls for it. And I'm sure later bosses actually do send out more bullet helly type things. But it's that the boss himself has such interesting choreography, and only these certain times when you can hit him because he's moving around and between the screens so much. So yeah, I really like the attention to kind of making fun patterns out of these, not only the enemy waves, but also the boss. Really good design concepts kind of went into this game, so I really appreciate it on that level. And like I said, the difficulty is really no joke, but it's got enough accessibility that I'm like, yeah, you know, it's easier to recommend. In fact, they have... and you can turn off the tutorials, which is nice. You can also turn off the screen shake if you want. There is screen shake when you die, but I like that, so I kept it on. There's no cheats or anything like that. They do have, by default, free play on the credits. You can toggle this to be between 1 and some other number. Oh, 25. 1 and 25 credits. And there's also seasonal events, which I don't know what that is yet, but apparently that's something. And you can also kind of have it, only save your score if you hit top three or top 10, which is kind of nice because I don't like being bugged by shmups to, you know, save my score when it's a really, really bad score. It has multiple borders, including, you know, you can have like the controls on there, even though there's only three buttons to concern yourself with. You can have like the placard style instructions on there. It has a bunch of like cool little borders. It does have a CRT filter. It's only one, and it makes it look terrible.
All CRT filters look terrible. All of them.
Yes, but this one in particular looks like it's a bad TV. I mean, it's kind of miserable even for a CRT filter. I mean, I'm sure it has its fans. I mean, I'm not saying don't include it. I'm just saying I'm glad it's off by default.
I got to disagree because the store page says the gorgeous Lotus CRT filter. And that, no. CRT filters are never gorgeous.
I'm of the mind of agree to disagree. As long as I can turn it off, and especially if it's off by default, I'm happy with that. But it does have it for you CRT filter kids out there who need a... Even though it only takes up a third of the screen, it still has the curve. So it's like, I guess if you want it to look like you're playing it on a TV with three bubbles on it, instead of one round screen. That's the thing that I always love is when the CRT filter or LCD filter, even better, is inaccurate. Like it's a Game Boy game with a CRT filter or something like that. Which, of course, you can play a Game Boy game on a CRT. It's just that's not the common use case. It has had its own LCD look. Anyway, I'm getting into the weeds, so go ahead and ask me about that price.
$10. Give me your verdict.
Yeah, it's good. Go get it.
Very good. Another good one from Flynn, it sounds.
They're all winners in at least one or two different ways. Like, you know, I'm always impressed with what these guys put out. So, yeah, another winner. Very another good. Flinner.
Ha ha! Son of a bitch. We're going to finish up with two demos. Aki, you were going to talk about Code Rapid first up, developed by Hitbreak, coming to Steam when it's ready. Code Rapid is a third-person action mecha game. This is why you wanted to talk about it. With the focus on real-time high-mobility movement. Fight on the on Darien front to uncover mysteries of a forgotten planet, complete missions to earn weapons and parts to build a mech that truly suits your playstyle with deep customization systems. Aki, what is Code Rapid?
Okay, so in this, you are some sort of mercenary, I guess we'll call it, and you travel around doing little missions, and the first one has you going to the city where the AI core that basically runs everything has gone crazy. This is a demo, so sadly there's two levels that you get to play as many times as you want to rack up as much money as you can to buy all the different parts for your robot to customize it as you see fit. But you're immediately thrown in, you're given a little tutorial that shows you how to use your different buttons and all that fun stuff, and all the enemies here are... majorly, there are a bunch of other robots. Sometimes there are also people in... mechs like you are, and you have an interesting little feature in the game. For some reason, after you beat somebody in their mech powers down because it's too damaged to move anymore. You can just leave them now and be like, okay, well, they're no longer a threat. I'm heading on. Or you can be like, you know what? Fuck this guy in particular, and you can kill them. Just outright. And at the end of the mission, it will actually specify that you killed them. Nice. And yeah, and the operator who gives you your missions and stuff will also mention, well, you know, you didn't have to kill them, but that's really up to you, I guess. Like, you damn right it was up to me. That dude's an asshole. And in this, you got a bunch of flying robots that shoot at you. You got some weird top-style robots, like spinning top-style robots that have giant blades on the sides that come flying at you. And you end up getting, you know, a base gun, a sword that you more or less use to... And it boosts you like crazy when you use the melee attack. Like, an enemy can be halfway across the screen you're like, well, I want to hit that person. I don't care about anything else going on. I want to hit them. I don't care how far away they are. You push that button, and your character will just fling himself out there, going super fast, high speeds, using the booster, just send themselves directly for it, and it's fantastic. Because nothing's going to stop you at that point, because you're now just a moving wrecking ball, and it's amazing. Every level has secrets in it. I don't know what they are, because even though I sat in the first level for hours, I could not find any of those secrets. I did find some bosses that I missed the first couple of times I ran it while trying to find secrets. I found some extra little like mini bosses that increased the amount of money I made at the end of the level, because the more enemies you defeat, the more money you make, which is nice. It does have a lot of speed to it, which was really nice. It's not too hard on like laser work, which is something I always worry about when I do mech games, which is why I tend to try mech game demos instead of being like, yes, I want this game to review because it's a mech game. You don't see that me doing that very often. That's why a lot of them have like lots of lasers and explosions, and it's very harsh on my photosensitivity. This one wasn't so much, which was really nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I got into the second level and there was some issues. There was an enemy that played kind of like a player does. And in that, I mean, you can dodge when a bullet is about to hit you, and then it slows down time for you, which it's basically actually making you move significantly faster. And an enemy I ran across did that because I'd see them, almost hit them, and then they'd fling themselves across the room faster than I could keep up with them. I was like, oh no, this is a better version of me. I don't like that. And he kicked my ass. He also kept getting a shield that he could put up that made him invincible or something. So I could not beat the second level because I couldn't figure out how to get past him. And that wasn't even the boss is the really sad thing for me. That was just an enemy, he wrecked my fucking day easily with that. So yeah,
it sounds like this is an easy one to guess that it's going on your wish list. But wish list, follow, ignore. What should people do about Code Rapid?
If you like mech games, this is easily a wish list game. This is one of the really good ones. I really enjoyed my time. I think it's going to end up being one of those that's fun to play, easy to play, but kind of hard to master, because some of the enemies, like the one that I last mentioned, are going to be kind of like you playing the game and being good at it is what they naturally are. So yeah. I think it'll be real fun but hard to master when it does eventually come out. So I think it's definitely worth wishlisting. It's amazing.
Gotcha. All right, last game, Ironwing Valiant, Record of Astera, developed and published by Tiger Team, again coming to Steam when it's ready. Ironwing Valiant is a fast-paced mech action JRPG. Ooh. Set in the fantasy world of Eurydia, take on the guise of a young mecha pilot named Reinhard. You'll battle through sleepy villages, imposing fortress cities, and war-scarred industrial centers. Aki, mix of mecha and JRPG. This gives me Xenogears vibes. Is the game anything like that, or am I just in my own fantasy?
Not really. That would have been awesome if it was more like that, because I've always wanted to play one of those games. Instead there was I'm not going to remember the game, but there was this old JRPG that you played as little soldiers with fancy, you know, tech guns, but it treated it like it was like ye olden, like World War, like two-ish day, so everyone had muskets and you traveled around, and it's a lot like that but with mechs instead, but live action, but visually it was that game style. Anyway, so you're playing this guy, you are actually part of the military in this one, so that's interesting. And it only has one level because this is a public pre-alpha, I think is what they called it. So this is very early still in development. And in it, you get basically one full level, which is split between like four different chapters. And you're trying to basically free this city from the invading army that started attacking it to get one of your people out and hopefully get everyone who lived in the city out to protect them from the enemy army that is basically now on their doorstep. And you are mostly fighting with a gun, and this time you have a big fuck-off-sized axe. Every item has a certain amount of hits that then have to recharge, and they automatically recharge. You just can't continue the attack, like, forever. So, like, the axe attack allowed you to hit 8 times, and you would have to wait for it to basically reload the attack actions, whereas the gun had 5 that it could do, and then it actually had a time of reloading it. And for that one, the bullets actually matter, because you only have so many bullets on top of that. Yes, you have 5 in your clip, but I think for that gun, it only had 65 bullets in total. The 5 in the clip at the beginning, and then 60 extra bullets, and then you're out. And you have to hope that something drops a health pack that also refills your weaponry. Which made that game actually really hard right from the get-go. You also have some special abilities that recharge over time. You have 4 little slots for your special energy to go, and it seems just to go up very slowly, just regularly. I don't know if there was another way of increasing it, but for that, you could use special abilities, which each cost a certain amount of the energy that this has. And some of them were like, oh, here's repair drones. They'll repair you a little bit over a short period of time. Or after you get certain distance into the level, they also unlock an ability to just call on artillery fire. And their artillery fire will basically, you target an enemy. And obviously, they're always boosting around stuff. But if you can get them to hold still for just a little bit, just hell rains upon them. And it's amazing. But yeah, the rest of the time you're fighting against people in little shoddy mechs. Sometimes you're fighting against more elite mechs that are really problematic. They even throw like tanks, flying giant drones at you, and even foot soldiers who, like, a group of 10 of them standing on top of each other wouldn't reach your cockpit. Like, you one shot them, literally. It's like, oh, y'all are, I kind of feel bad for the soldiers here, because here's this group of, like, 10 enemies, I fired one bullet, and they all got blown to hell. Oh. That's a choice, I guess, that one can make.
Speaking of choices one can make, wow, that was a good segue, holy shit.
Yeah, I had to unmute to say kudos for that one.
I know, right? Like, I gotta relish that one for a second. Whew. Aki, your thoughts on this game? Wish list, follow, ignore.
I think this one is more of a follow, personally, because it's a lot harder. Yeah, it's a lot harder than the other one. Both of these are actually surprisingly kind of difficult, but this one was a lot harder. You really have to focus on using the abilities that your character has, the like heal and stuff. And I'm not really used to that, so this was a much harder game for me, so I think this is a follow. I still think it's worth following, though, because we don't get enough of these as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But yeah, real good.
Really cool. We'll keep an eye on those, and hopefully we'll hear more about them in the future. But for now, that's it. We're done. Shit could have been an email. There's the episode title.
A long-ass email that I would not have read.
I wouldn't have read an email. Either
could have been like Mark. You should call the podcast Mark as Listened.
Mark as Listened. That's a good one. Writing that down.
Inhale.
Music. Should we play more Mustin from his new album?
Sure.
Really good album. Really good album. So, yeah, we'll play some Mustin. Does anyone have any final words to end this one?
Mustin. So out of it. Oh, I got nothing.
We're like, none of us are ready for tonight's show, and it's already over.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast.
No, fuck you.